You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
This is Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And I'm Kat Gunther from White Lake, Michigan. You're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast for November 18th. Good morning, Horse World.
You're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast, where we explore the versatility of the world's most popular breed of horse, the American Quarter Horse.
Kat, what do we have in store today? I think this is going to be a super fun show.
Yes, today we're talking about the IHSA, which is the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association. Have you heard of this, Ashley?
I've heard of this, and I think there's another collegiate show group out there, but I don't know what acronym they are.
There's so many acronyms, I can't keep up.
I can't. Did you ride in college, Kat?
I did not, but I thought about it for a minute. So I was at Michigan State University, and then COVID hit. Uh-huh. And we all got sent home. So when I was thinking about it, they said, go home and don't come back.
Wow.
What about you, Ashley? Have you ridden in college?
No, I was still riding like as an amateur at that stage. I had thought about going to an equestrian college, actually, Findlay University in Ohio. And they had offered me a scholarship. And I'm, you know, sitting there thinking. And I was like, okay, I have a free full ride scholarship to a state school in Florida or this scholarship to ride in Ohio. And, you know, Kat, I don't like the winter.
I don't blame you. It's freezing here. We just had our first snow yesterday. So
I just
understand.
There was just no, I mean, you know, yeah, going to college on a beach or in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. So I did not pursue a collegiate riding career.
I respect that. So were you going to ride? Did they offer it for the English or the Western side of things?
It was for jumping. Yep. Because okay. Thank God I didn't, because I really haven't jumped high or fast in a very long time.
I can't imagine myself jumping a horse, honestly. I like their feet on the ground and I like them going slow.
I think it's so admirable, the college students who are able to juggle the sport and get to class and do their homework and do all the things. I think it's a wonderful testament to someone's ability to really juggle everything. And college, I mean, I have to imagine, and maybe you know, Kat, from your experience, college is where you go and you like become a new version of yourself, right? So I have to imagine that there's a lot of horse boys and girls out there who they go to college and they're like, I want to be a horse person now.
Yeah. I've seen that many times at Michigan State. They have, like I was saying, they have a big equestrian team. And there's people that either have shown their whole life or maybe never even ridden a horse that can go, and they have different levels from beginner to open, and they offer English and Western classes. So it's really a great way for people who want to get involved with horses to get involved.
That's awesome. And the perfect time in life to do it.
Exactly. And you don't need to own a horse, which is, I think, the biggest appeal, because, you know, they're expensive. If there was an IHSA team for me right now as an adult, I would do it.
Well, you are going back to school for your MBA. So maybe you can technically compete as a collegiate student.
Just hit up Michigan State and be like, I don't go to your university.
She doesn't even go here.
She doesn't even go here, but I just want to compete, please. I don't think they'd like that.
I think it's worth a shot. You never know if you don't ask.
That is true.
I can see it now. Oh,
I would love it, though. I mean, it's great because, like, college kids are broke, and I'm still broke, and I'm out of college, but it's a great way for people to get involved.
Our first guest today is Nicole McCauley, who has been coaching the Western team at Albion College in Southern Michigan since August of 2024. During her first season coaching the Albion Western team, the team won the regional champion team, semifinals reserve champion team, and placed fifth as a team at IHSA Nationals. Welcome to the Quarter Horse Podcast, Nicole.
So, Nikki, can you give our listeners an overview on IHSA and how the competitions work?
Yeah, sure. So IHSA is draw-based for college students. Draw-based meaning that they draw out of a hat or whatever, you know, what horse they're going to be riding, and they don't get any warm-up time. And then they go and they show, whether it's a horsemanship class, which can be rail and pattern, and then either ranch riding or reining for like the upper levels. And along those lines, also for IHSA, you compete against your peers. So if you're a beginner rider, walk jog rider, you're going to compete against walk jog riders. If you've shown at the Congress and the World Show, you're going to compete against riders at that similar level.
So can anyone join or try out for IHSA? What does that look like? Like, do you get a bunch of folks who have no horsemanship experience at all?
Well, yeah, you need the beginner riders because, like, for the team base, they count just as much as your upper level.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, so compared to, like, the NCAA, where you're all, like, on those, like, you know, D1 athletes, we need a variety in IHSA. So it's a little more beginner friendly in that regards. Each school is kind of different. At Albion, where I'm coach, we are a varsity sport. So we're considered equivalent to the football team here. So we do recruit most of our athletes. But again, because those beginner riders are just as important, I'm also like recruiting from our student base to fill those slots too.
So you mentioned the team point system. How does that work? Do people compete individually or is it all like a team?
So you compete both. Mm-hmm. So we have to select as a coach, we have to select our point riders. So whoever is selected as the point rider goes and represents like the team and their points count. On the same regard, you compete individually to qualify for postseason. And I always say, even if you're not the point rider, you're a point blocker and you're just as important. So I've also heard it compared to, you know, doing offense versus defense. So you want everyone that, you know, you want the whole team to do well to get the points, even if they're not necessarily your point rider.
Nikki, were you an IHSA rider? How did you find yourself as a coach?
So I did compete in IHSA for like, I think 1 or 2 years. I graduated from University of Findlay, but I actually didn't focus as much on the horses. I have a degree in biology. And then I've had high school and middle school teams with my husband. So we used to live in Ohio and we had some EDA teams there. And then we moved to Michigan and we focused more on the IEA. So I've been doing the draw base for quite a while, even though this is only my second year of IHSA. I've had a lot of riders like graduate from my high school team into IHSA, some going on to the NCEA. So I feel like as a high school rider, like getting in that draw base experience, whether it's IEA, EDA, is great, whether you go IHSA or like NCEA. Just that whole learning how to ride an unfamiliar horse on the fly and making those adjustments is like huge.
It always impresses me so much because they just are getting random horses, right? It's just, do you go and like pick from a bucket?
In our region, they have a deck of cards and they draw a deck of cards, you know, like ace being one, jack being 11. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, they pick it like that morning. So they don't even necessarily know who they're riding, like when they watch them warm up. And it can be a super nice show horse or it can be kind of a backyard semi-ranked pony. You just don't know. So the big thing is we do try. And I think in our region, we do a pretty good job. And like you get up in the upper, like the postseason stuff, they do a good job. But we try to make the horses match. So if you have a rank pony, everyone in the class should have the rank pony. But, you know, that can't always be, you know, their horses, they're unpredictable. And we do have the option, like, to request a reride. So, like, if the horse is not wanting to play that day, they're tapped out, their clocks ran out, we can request that the rider gets put on a different horse. And the other thing is, like, some judges are extremely good at judging through the horse and can pick their winner and, you know, can attribute some of the bad behavior to the horse. And some know that, oh, this rider is not helping that animal at all. And so you can be the winner on the best horse and you can be the winner on the worst horse. So goes both ways.
So how do you prepare your riders to handle the lack of predictability when they're preparing to show?
We do a lot of like backup plans. So like I always like to talk about, you know, this is your first plan. If this doesn't work out, we work on to plan B, we go down to plan C, which I do also like when with my quarter horse clients, because like you never know when something's going to, you know, not work as you plan. I feel like when everything works perfectly as you're planned, that's when you're like, oh my God, that was like the perfect pattern, which happens very rare. But yeah, I think that's one of the big things is you teach your riders to adjust on the fly. And then you also teach them, you know, like you try and feel that horse out at the walk. You know, if you've got a pretty anxious horse at the walk, then you're not going to push a lot at the jog. You do a lot of like feeling it out as much as you can, as early as you can.
So, you know, you're joining us today on the Quarter Horse Podcast, and I know a lot of the horses for the competition are quarter horses. What are some of the other breeds that you see your kids competing on?
Well, one of my team's favorites, one of my customers has an Appaloosa that she brings to the shows, and that little Appy mare is a saint. We love her, and we super appreciate that my customer lets her come to the shows. We also have a lot of paints. There's some POA ponies. I believe I've seen a Halflinger pony at one show. So definitely a variety of horses for sure. But I would say we're predominantly stock breed, mainly quarter horse and paints.
And how does that work? You said you have a client that brings her Appaloosa in. Like if I had a great quarter horse in my backyard, what would that look like? How would I get involved to get my horse as a mount for the IHSA?
Well, there's a couple different options. So like my customer, she just lends her horse to the horse shows, but she lives her normal training job at, you know, my home. But then there's also like at LBN, we care lease horses. So some people give us horses to use for the season where we pay for their board and like their maintenance and farrier and stuff like that. And then we also do donations, which is a tax write-off. So if you have a horse that maybe just isn't quite ready to fully retire, but not quite still doing the horse show life, we have a nice, happy, soft landing here where they don't have to work probably as hard like when they are going down the road. I'd say most of my horses go like four lessons a week besides horse shows. So it's not a super heavy load. And then they get to get turnout. And we have hot walkers. So, you know, if the weather doesn't work, they can still go on the walker and get movement, you know. So it's definitely a great place for that horse that just isn't ready to quite retire, but probably isn't cut out still for the show scene, if you know what I mean.
And what advice would you give to a student who is looking to maybe join an IHSA team?
I think if you can find a varsity team, you're going to enjoy that experience a lot more, because as a varsity team, you're not having to do as much, you know, funding the team as yourself. Like some of the club sports, you know, those riders have to pay for all their entries, all their travel, all the things, their lessons and everything like that. Where like LBN being a varsity team, and there are other varsity teams out there. So like, I'm not saying just LBN, but if you can get it where it's a varsity sport, the school is so supportive. They pay for their travel, they pay for their entry fees. And just blessed to, you know, be able to ride for your college and enjoy that experience.
I'm not in college anymore, but I kind of want to do that. I pay for everything and I can go show. That'd be awesome.
I mean, I got room on my roster.
Okay. I'd be like, she doesn't even, me and Ashley were joking about this, about like going back to college to do this in the intro. And they'll be like, she doesn't even go here.
I'm always like, if I would have known, like, especially in like the high school level, I was like, the kids that compete in the high school level, like, I'm like, I would have loved to do this when I was a kid.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, my son is, you know, boy that rides horses, and like, not like he does wrestling and other athletics, but like if he loves his IEA team because like it's his sport, you know?
Well, and you know, that brings up a really good point because in my experience, riding is very much an individual sport, you know, and so to have the team aspect and camaraderie and support, I think really is a beautiful thing, especially for young folks.
Oh, for sure. And like, even like my riders will be like, oh, they didn't have the best ride, but they're out there cheering their teammates.
Yes.
You know, there's not that as much time to be like down in the dumps, you know,
all in your feels. Yeah.
you get over it a little bit faster, you know, so you have that team that you're rooting on. Like my girls and boy, I have one boy on my college team. They're like, they have a huge cheering section, like almost obnoxiously loud. And I love it. Like, is it a little over the top sometimes? Yeah, but who cares? Like, they're out there having fun cheering on their teammates. And like, that's what it's all about. So
do you guys have any specific traditions or rituals you do before a show?
We have a little cheer that they do typically the night before. The morning of is kind of rough just because we're hustle and bustle. We have a lot of shows here at home, so we have a lot of just tasks to do for a show. But the night before, we usually do a good day to be a Brit cheer. And then after the team competition concludes, they'll also do it. So it's fun.
My dog love tried it.
My dog tried to attack the girl leading the cheer, too. So, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the perfect transition to the last question I have for you today, Nikki. And we ask all of our guests this. And this is, I would say, categorically the hardest question we ask on this show. And that's going to be, tell us your favorite funny quarter horse story, whether it was in the barn, at a competition, just a memory you have with a quarter horse.
Oh, geez, this is a hard question.
Sorry, I warned you.
Favorite quarter horse? Probably my oldest son won the AQHA World Show in 2020 in the showmanship. So that's probably my favorite, like, memory. Could easily be backed up with some other things. But just, you know, being the COVID year, we didn't even know if the show was going to happen. It was his last 13 and under year, and he's had that horse since he was a small fry. He still has that horse. Like, just to watch, you know, standing in the stands and watching him, like, go out there and lay out a great pattern. I think he won it on, like, 3 of the 5 judges. So, yeah, that would be my most favorite experience or memory.
I love it. Well, Nikki, thank you so much for taking the time. And are you in season right now? Are you guys competing, or is it winding down with the holidays approaching?
We actually have a competition this coming Sunday. So we have 10 regular season shows. So we've done 4.
Oh, okay.
So we have 2 coming up on this Sunday, and then we'll break and start back up into January. So,
well, best of luck to the team. And I'm going to also say good luck to all of you taking care of horses in winter in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I woke up this morning and I was like, what is this crap? It's like 19 degrees out.
Oh, I know. My mini horse was looking at the snow yesterday. Like, what the heck? Every year, the first snow, he gets scared of it.
Same.
Exactly. Same. I'm like pulling out long underwear from the cupboard or drawers. And no, 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 no.
Thanks, Nikki. Have a great, great season and stay warm.
Thank you.
Heavy new blankets, bulky coolers, tubs of supplements, even prescription items. No problem. At Chewy, every order over $49 ships free, so you can stock up on everything your horse needs for fall without the heavy lifting. Order online or in the app, and let Chewy deliver right to your barn. Fast, free, and hassle-free, so you can spend more time enjoying autumn rides with your horse. Start shopping now at chewy.com/equine.
Our next guest is Alyssa McPherson, the team captain on the Albion Equestrian Team. She grew up showing 4-H and has had quarter horses for a long time, and she has recently started to work on getting into the quarter horse show pen. In IHSA, she was 3rd in team rookie at Nationals last year and recently leveled into the level 1 horsemanship. Okay, so my first question for you, what is your background experience with quarter horses before joining an IHSA team?
So I've had quarter horses my whole life. I never got really into showing quarter horse circuit up until the last couple of years, but I grew up in 4-H doing open shows. My grandpa was a roper, so doing all of those fun, crazy things. I trail rode for a lot of my youth, just hanging out, going in the rustic campgrounds, trail riding our horses, swimming in the water. But then I got into the show pen and fell in love with the ranch riding and the reining.
Okay, so how many quarter horses do you have right now?
I actually have a paint mare too, but okay. She's her own being. She's a special lady. I have a foundation quarter horse gelding right now, actually. I've had him since he's 3, and I'm trying to buy another one. So
that's dangerous. It's a slippery slope. I'll get another one. So how does that, like, how many quarter horses do you see when you do the draw? Like, Nicole was explaining it to us yesterday that you draw horse, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, a lot of, for the Western side of things, most of our horses are quarter horses. We do get, like, some paint horses and some, like, Arabians and stuff now and then, but 90% of the time, I have not drawn anything other than a quarter horse.
Okay.
So, I, like, it's definitely a weird thing to just go up and draw a horse out of a thing, but the most 90% of the time I've drawn a quarter horse, I drew an Appy one time, but I've had other people draw, like, Arabs and saddlebreds and things.
Oh, wow. So there's really all breeds.
Yeah, you can draw anything and everything.
Wow. So what, I was going to say grade cut. Should I say what year? Okay. 3, 2, 1. So what year are you in right now?
I'm a sophomore.
You're a sophomore. Okay. And then how did you start with IHSA? How did you find out about it?
So it's actually kind of a funny story. So I was recruited to play college softball. So I played softball throughout my whole life while riding horses. And I didn't actually know you could ride horses in college until I committed here to play softball. And then our former coach, he reached out to me and was like, hey, this is a thing you can do. I think you'd be good at it. And so I ended up also committing to ride. And I honestly, to God, had no idea you could ride horses until I already had committed. But now I wish I would have, because it's so cool. But that's kind of how I got into the draw base, like riding. And now I help out with Nikki's IEA team.
Okay. So how did you become the captain of the IHSA team? What did that look like?
So I'm a really big personality.
I love it.
And I don't really know. I've always been really good at, I don't know how to say that. Having good leadership skills has been one of my strong suits for a long time. So just kind of stepping into that role last year, almost unintentionally stepping into some roles that were helpful. And our captains last year, we had 2 senior captains last year. I missed them so bad. But they were like, hey, you would be good at this. And I was like, okay. And I love it. I have a lot of fun. I hope that everyone likes having me as a captain. I have a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. That's a cool role to get as a sophomore. I feel like that usually would be a senior role.
Yeah, I definitely was a little shocked when they were like, you should be captain. And I was like, what?
that's a huge compliment, though. So how do you help riders who are maybe people who don't even know anything about horses that want to join? How do you help them kind of get accustomed to the draw base approach?
You kind of, I just explain it to them. Mm-hmm. I feel like the best way for them to, like, figure it out is to, for one, hear it verbally and then to just do it. Mm-hmm. And so I, for one, I had no idea what the draw base was like until I just did it. Mm-hmm. So the way I try and help, like, especially our beginner riders that have never even, we have beginner riders that have never been on a horse before.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to just ease them into it a little bit. But I honestly think the best way to learn how to do the draw base riding is to just do it, because mm-hmm. you have to jump ride multiple horses before you can figure out how to jump ride multiple horses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a go for it kind of thing.
Yeah. So how many people are usually in a class?
It depends. So, like, we in our divisions, there's, like, rookie level 1, level 2, open, et cetera, et cetera. But there's multiple people in that class. So, like, I'm in the level 1, and some at our show we'll have, like, level 1 split A, B, and C. And so there could be, like, 30 riders in the level one at that show, but you're only going to show with 10 to 12 of them.
Gotcha. And what do you think it is about quarter horses that makes them so good for this type of format of showing?
They're so versatile and they really just don't care. They're just chill guys. I've ridden a lot of horses and I honestly think they're just the most easygoing and most versatile horse. So it's really easy for us as people to communicate with those horses that we've never met before just because they just hang out.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite quarter horse? Like one that you just remember that you drew once and you're like, that was my guy?
Lasso. That's my favorite. Oh my gosh, wait, cut. That's a paint horse.
Oh, okay. We can cut. I'll re-ask it.
Cut.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. So do you have a favorite quarter horse that you've ever drawn at a show?
Oh, probably one of our horses. My favorite horse I think I've drawn is, I think Rapper from Middle Tennessee.
Rapper? I like that name.
Yeah, he was really cool. I drew him at semis.
Okay, so do you guys travel a lot for competitions? How does that work?
So actually for like our region, we host a lot. We have 8 shows, like total, 8 double headers, and we host typically 4 of them. So just because we have the facility for it, but we travel a lot for postseason. So like regionals, semifinals, and nationals, like nationals will be in North Carolina, semifinals is in Kentucky. But like we travel in state most of the time just for our regional stuff, typically to like Midland and East Lansing.
Okay. Is Albion like the biggest IHSA team? I feel Michigan State also has a team, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So actually it's kind of cool to say that. So at Albion, we're actually a varsity sport. Mm-hmm. So we get all the same like perks and everything that all the other sports do. Whereas all the other schools in our region, that's not a thing.
Really?
So we are a varsity sport. So the school takes care of us. They take care of like our travel fees, yada, yada, yada. Whereas all these other schools like Michigan State, for example, they're a D1 school and they're a livestock and agricultural education school and their equestrian team is club. So they pay out of pocket for everything. Wow. Whereas we are, I guess, provided for by the school.
Is there one that's more common than another? Like, is it usually?
Yeah,
it's catered.
So like, I guess when actual D1 schools, mm-hmm. So like when you compete NCAA at draw base, it's different than IHSA. So a lot of IHSA schools are actually like club, but we're considered varsity, like just through the college.
That's so cool. I know I was telling Nicole I want to come back to college and ride just because. She doesn't even go here, but you know, I still want to go because it just seems like such a great program for people that, especially people that don't have any experience with horses, can get involved. So my next question for you is, what do you recommend for someone who's like, oh, I want to get involved with horses in college? What should they do?
Reach out. If your college has an IHSA team or an NCAA team and you have never even touched a horse in your entire life, reach out because there's probably a place for you. I know like for me specifically, I give our beginner lessons. So please, if you've never even touched a horse, come hang out. I can come introduce you.
Well, that's awesome. Do you guys set up at like expos or club fairs or how does that?
Yeah. So we typically do the horse pavilion at Michigan State when they host like stuff there. We'll table. But Nikki like travels around at horse shows and recruits and Nikki will table like at horse shows. At Quarter Horse Congress, she actually had a little booth up out there for people to like write down their information and take her information and all the fun things.
That's awesome. Well, it seems like such a great program. Yeah. I do have my last question for you. We ask everybody that comes on here, what is your favorite funny story? It could be something quirky in the show ring or just in the barn with your favorite quarter horse, like something that just sticks out to you. This is the absolute hardest question we ask.
So probably last year I was showing at the Congress last year. I was going into my ranch riding class, but you know how it is when there's several different ranch riding classes that you can enter in. So I thought I was going in like level 1 amateur or something, but I was going in a different class and I had memorized the wrong pattern for my class. And I like stopped at the gate and I spun my horse around and my mom was yelling at me to like yelling at me what the pattern was through the gate. And I was trying to figure it out as I'm going in the arena. And thank God I'd practiced this pattern about 15 times with my horse because he did the pattern. I had no clue what the pattern was. He did the whole thing. And that was a day that I won them. That's why they say trust your horse, because they will pull you through that pattern. And you sure did.
Moral of the story, trust your quarter horse. That is so fun. Just be like autopilot. Go do it.
Yeah, I just put my hand forward and off he went, extended lope. He even collected himself. It was great.
What a good boy. I hope he got extra treats after that. That's all
he did.
He behaved. Oh, well, thank you so much, Alyssa. It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Quarter Horse Podcast on Horses in the Morning. Be sure to like, subscribe, and tell your friends all about the world's favorite breed of horse.